Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week, and I hope you're having a wonderful week as well, wherever you are, wherever you're listening, and when you listen, because the beauty of our podcast, Realty Universal Radio, is we get to have let people download at their convenience and listen anywhere. And funny thing is, when we started it almost 8 years ago, it wasn't as commonplace as now. Podcasts are just being done everywhere and everywhere. So I get to have Randy's co-hosted with me. Hey, Randy.
Hey, I'm busting out the happy ukulele.
Is that like we call it Wednesday or Happy Holiday, Happy Aloha Friday, right? We're on Wednesday. I like it. Hey, are you really playing?
Yeah.
That was you?
I was just playing the happy ukulele right there. I wasn't really playing, no.
Oh, gosh, I thought you were doing it. Oh, I love it. Yeah,
happy
so
ukulele.
Happy. So great. Have you noticed as we get older, we start to really appreciate life every day? It's like,
yeah.
I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I'm loving it. I was listening to something. It's funny. Oprah Winfrey, who I think is phenomenal. This woman has been the most amazing woman that I've ever known. I mean, I don't know her, but I mean, seeing and all she does to give back and serve. But because I'm not somebody to watch TV, I've just always been focused on other things. I don't watch a lot of TV. I couldn't tell you the weekly shows that come on or anything. So I never really watched her show. Here and there I did, and I got some of her episode information years ago. But so lately I've been listening to some of the YouTube things, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, she does exactly what we've been doing. The servant heart and caring and bringing back I was just listening to it. But somebody was interviewing her, and she's now 65, and they're like, why do you keep going? Why do you keep going? You know, you have plenty. And she's like, because she wants to live on purpose, and this is life, and serve. And, you know, those weren't her exact words. She was putting it out there. And it's true, right? There's so much that God gives us in life to keep going and going, and it makes it fun. I've noticed when you're not doing anything, now forget vacations, resting, we all need to do that. We need to do it even daily. Doesn't it feel better to be on passion and going and going? Racing, you know, going and going. So today we're talking about mortgage protection insurance, because even though we're going to keep going and going, we haven't figured out a way to go forever yet, have we? Our eternity in heaven, but not here in our bodies and on the earth. So even though none of us want to see that and believe it, and none of us seem to want to die, we don't want anybody to want to die. And if you're ever thinking about that, please get help, because one more day will make a difference. Do it. So today we're going to talk about mortgage protection insurance. Do you need it? Do you not need it? What it is? And then tell us also about, if a spouse dies, can you pay off your mortgage? What type should you get, et cetera? How much should you expect to pay? We're just going to go over a little bit about that, and then I'll turn it over to you, Randy, to talk about our guest, Pat Welsh.
Yeah, Pat Welsh. He's the author, speaker, trainer, expert witness, retired major from the Dayton, Ohio Police Department, graduate of the FBI Academy, and author of an amazing book. It's called Warrior Servant Leader, Life Behind the Badge, kind of his story. And then he did another version, more of a I guess, if you will, a Christian version, Warrior, Servant, Leader, Life Behind the Cross, kind of delves a little deeper into his personal life philosophy. But he is, I have, I don't know, maybe half a dozen times I've had him on various radio shows that either I did or somebody else has done, and he never fails to just inspire, you know, inspire you to be all you can be. And he has just this kind of authoritative, as you might imagine, because having been a police detective, you know, and captain all those years, he's just very, in his way of presentation, he's very authoritative, and you're just like, yes, sir, I'm going to do that, you know, because you want to.
He was
on
before.
Kind of glean,
yeah, I think he was on here with us before a couple years ago. Yeah, he was.
So he's an amazing guy, and he's on with us in just a few minutes. He'll be calling in. But the mortgage protection insurance thing, I'm really glad you're we are on the same wavelength. That's kind of crazy because I've been thinking about that myself. And there's two – I know a typical thing that people get confused about is there's two types of mortgage insurance, essentially. There's the one that the bank or the lender makes us take out when we buy a house, and it guarantees they get paid off if something happens to us, right? That's one. And the other is where your spouse, like if, you know, your surviving spouse gets the house paid off if you if you pass.
That's a great question. The mortgage insurance with the lenders doesn't pay them off if you die. It's just the there's owner's title insurance and lender's title insurance, like when you buy the house, and they're covering themselves in case there's ever any title issues to the property. It doesn't matter if someone dies or not. It would be if anybody had committed fraud or there were landlocked issues, all kinds of other issues. So that insurance, which is a great question or comment, that insurance covers that is for the property. And, yes, the lender's not going to give you a loan without it. I recommend everybody take out the owner's title, too, because, God forbid, if there's an issue, you know, from way back when, it comes up on you in 3 or 4 years, somebody knocks on your door, wants to serve you papers, all you have to do is get your owner's title insurance policy out and say, deal with them, you know, and it's worth its weight in gold, because otherwise you could be fighting an issue for years. And there's so many, too many things for us to go into on that. That would help be a whole other show. But so mortgage insurance, mortgage protection insurance, that's insurance, and you can buy either term insurance or whole life. Mortgage protection insurance is usually going to be a little bit more money than if you just talk to your insurance agent and get regular term insurance. Because, you know, everybody's out to make a buck, right, basically. So I do absolutely believe in insurances because we're going to die. We can't stop that yet, right? And then there's accidents and sicknesses and all kinds of things. You could still be young and pass. So I totally believe in insurances. The mortgage protection insurance, you know, lots of times you'll buy your house or you'll get cards in the mail and say, hey, you can buy this. It's very cheap and it's worth it, but you still want to call a couple insurance agents. You want to price it and check it out and see which is the best, but you want to have it. Don't delay. You can get it for pennies on the dollar. Now, term insurance is what they're usually going to try to sell you rather than whole life. I'm a believer, I mean, because back in the 80s, I don't know if anybody that remembers the A.L. Williams days, they were always saying, I mean, they started a multi-level marketing company, and they were always saying, buy term, invest the rest. Don't waste your money on whole life. Buy term, invest the rest. Now that I'm older and a lot wiser, I still say term insurance does a lot for you because you can get a lot more for your money. Than whole life. But whole life is also good to have because whole life will have a cash value. It'll build cash reserves and values that you can borrow against in later years. Term life is strictly for when you die, your beneficiaries get paid. You're not going to get a cash value in term life. Although you do have some policies. Now, when we're talking about this, of course, you have to check with your accountant, attorney, insurance agent, you know, your financial advisors. We're doing our disclaimer. There's so many different areas. Like, you can get term insurance with a return of premium. Not all policies offer it anymore, so you want to check. If you do get term insurance with a return of premium, when you finish paying off the term insurance 20, 30 years later, you could get those premiums back. And they're taxed. They're not they're not taxed because they were just return of premiums. They're not considered income. But many don't tell you that, and many aren't even aware of it. And again, there's a lot of policies that do not work that way. But when you're asking about mortgage protection insurance, for the little bit amount of money it costs, and even if you have health issues, they'll stick. There's still typically you can still get a fair amount for a little bit of money. You definitely should have it because, you know, again, we are going to go at some point. So why not have your family protected, your wife protected, even if you don't, even if you're not married, your relatives or whomever, you know, whomever you want to leave things to, protected. And I think a lot of times the men say, I'm going to have it on me, but not my wife. No, you should have it on your wife and you, you know, because it works both ways when something happens.
Yeah.
So I am, so I really believe you want to get it regardless. Again, but when you're asking the questions originally, term insurance is going to be cheaper because you get more, but you're not getting the cash value that you can take out later. For anybody out there that doesn't have any life insurance whatsoever, I think you really owe it to yourself and your family or significant others, children, to go and discuss it with a couple of insurance agents. And, you know, ask a lot of questions. Now, interestingly enough, now, compound interest you want to look at too, right, so you can do it. But you want to ask about universal life and whole life. And I do want to recommend, because we're just going over this for a few minutes in the beginning here, I do want to recommend something I learned about, which I haven't been doing, but I'm going to look at doing it. You can. There's a book by R. Nelson Nash, and that's R. Nelson, N-E-L-S-O-N, Nash, N-A-S-H, called Becoming Your Own Banker. Unlock the Infinite Banking Concept. Now, these guys, because so many of us have been trained for years to buy term and not buy whole life, these guys believe in buying whole life so that you can use the cash reserves and value to borrow against it instead of going to the bank. So, but it has to be set up properly. So, you know, we always talk about things on the show that we could talk about for 3 days, right? And we have less than an hour. I'm taking 10 minutes right now. So we don't.
Yeah.
We're giving people information to go out and check with their advisors and see what the best ways to do it. But if you look at this book or read this book, they're talking about taking the whole life and making it work for you. You almost become your own banker. A lot of situations, people are older, didn't know about this, 60s, 70s, years old, or 50s. You can also take it out in your children. Maybe your children's 20-some years old, and then work it out to where they're going to have the monies to give you in your 70s, you know. So there's a whole lot that goes on with insurance. I'm a big believer in it. I mean, think about it. We all pay so much to insurance companies, but we need our car insurance. We need our house insurance. We need our health insurance. We need disability insurance, life insurance. But it's peace of mind. You're not wasting your money. You know, you want to be careful. And, of course, a lot of the investor gurus will say, don't get whole life. Just put your money in stocks or put your money in investments. And I put most of mine in term, you know, over the years. But if I knew what I knew today, I would have mixed it up and not put all my eggs in one basket. So do you have any questions on that, though, Randy? Because I know you're looking at it, too. And
I guess, again, for a variety of reasons, kind of late to the late to the planning for retirement party, and now that I'm, you know, looking at that, I'm saying, okay, so I need to get mortgage protection insurance. We don't have it on our house, but I'm
but you call the insurance agent and ask for mortgage. You want term insurance, and then you just sit it. You have it designated. With the beneficiary would be your wife, and she gets it, and you're the beneficiary, and then you pay off the house. Or you can put the beneficiary as on the house, but I wouldn't put the mortgage company specifically because mortgage companies sell out to other companies constantly. You notice how you're paying a mortgage, and then 2 years later it's another. So I would not put their name. There's an issue going on with second mortgages right now across the country where the mortgage company went defunct and people can't even sell their homes because they're not able to get a release, and that's where that owner's title insurance comes into again, right? So see, there's all these little things. You and I call them pukas in Hawaii, right? But there's all these little things.
Yeah.
So it's too much information for us to go over in 15 minutes, but at the same time, you definitely need it. But the mortgage protection insurance is no different than term insurance, and you could get whole life.
Oh, okay.
And it's enough
okay.
money to pay off your house. So you look at what you owe on your mortgage. But talk to them, because there's a lot of companies that will, even with health issues, will still give a certain amount. So that's what you want to do, and absolutely. But but I would set up a couple appointments. I talked to 3 or 4 life insurance agents, you know, or, and yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Definitely do it.
Well, I'm going to do that. I'm inspired, and now I'm a little more equipped to in understanding it, and I appreciate it. And it is 15 after the hour. That'd be 12:15 here on the left coast, and I'm assuming you're on the east coast, right?
Today I am, yep, until June. Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. You're traveling quite a bit, but
yeah.
Natalie is
last
on
week
the,
I was in Vegas. Yeah.
You know,
I called
the west coast the left coast, but actually the east coast kind of the left coast too, so we have 2 left coasts in this country.
Depends on where we are, right? If we're up and looking down. if we're in Europe, it depends on where we are, yeah. Good point.
Yeah, let's not get into politics.
Oh, no.
I feel much better.
I'm talking geographically.
I stopped watching.
No, I'm not doing politics. I'm doing politics today. No,
well,
thanks.
Well, it is time for our guest today. And, again, I see that he's joined us on the line. And, again, Pat Welsh has been with us before. He's been on several radio shows that I've been involved with, including the one Monica and I did back at WBGL in Champaign. And never ceases, as I said, never ceases. To inspire, and that looking forward to it today. Author, speaker, trainer, expert witness. You say, what is an expert witness? Well, lifetime law enforcement, right? So retired major from the Dayton Police Department, and so expert witness. He's been to the FBI Academy. He trains police officers. Also, prior to the police career, he was a prosecutor. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. We'll talk about a little bit of that, but we're going to talk for sure about his book, Warrior, Servant, Leader, Life Behind the Badge. Again, never ceases to inspire me, and I've been looking forward to this ever since we booked him again. Pat, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Randy.
Hey, Pat, thanks for coming on again. Appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing well. Enjoying Colorado.
Yeah, man.
You're in Colorado? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Nice. Nice, man. Well, Pat, I, again, you noticed the matter of fact. There's just that matter of fact thing right there, right? The Joe Friday. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. how you doing, man? I'm Joe Friday. I carry a badge. So, man, you've done so much, and we have so little time with you. I would love, first of all, give us again, I kind of highlighted, you know, the journey, your career journey, but if you could kind of, again, recap that and how your journey really led you to write this book, Warrior, Servant, Leader, Life Behind the Badge, and man, just share some of that stuff and some of those nuggets with us today. You started as a prosecutor, correct?
That's right. Started out as a city prosecutor and then worked my way up to the felony court docket. So I've tried everything from jaywalking to aggravated murder.
Oh.
Wow. Now, how long did you do that?
I did that for 4 years, and I was 28 years old, been married. We were married 6 years, and I wasn't really happy practicing law, and my wife said, well, what is it you want to do? And I said, well, since I was 9 years old, I've always wanted to be a police officer. So she gave me her blessing, and that was 33 years ago. We're still married.
Oh, congratulations.
And, that's a feat in itself when you're in law enforcement. And so I made the transition over. I still practice law, just not full time, and did I was a sworn police officer for 27 years total, and I practiced law for 30 years.
Wow.
And one day after I retired, I said, boy, I ought to put down on paper a lot of lessons learned and my experiences, and it was very cathartic for me. And it turned out to be a best new release on Amazon, and has done well. And I wrote a second book, came out about 4 or 5 months ago, and it's a faith-based warrior servant leader.
Life Behind the Cross is what I was
Life Behind the Cross. Yeah.
Wow, I love
and, it. And but both books have done well, and like Randy said, I train cops, civilian and military, and I use a lot of the lessons learned from those two books in the classes I teach and the seminars we put on.
Thank you so much for serving in so many ways. I mean, as a police officer, as doing the prosecutor, and then serving God's work. It sounds like your work has been the vehicle, right, for you to go in and deal with these people all the time, people from all different situations, right, constantly.
Yeah.
Tell us
how
did you get into? I mean, when did you know that? Hey, this is my calling. Like this is, or at the police service, you knew since you were 8 years old. How did you know that this all ties in for us to serve the world with God? Like, I know that might sound like a loaded question, but I know you know what I mean.
Well, I took a really odd route, and I was actually headed to the priesthood.
Wow.
I was in college. Yeah, I was in college. Yeah, yeah. I'm Irish Catholic, so you're either going to be a cop, a lawyer, or a priest, you know?
I bet your wife was happy with you.
Yeah, I did two out of the three, and we actually met at a an on-campus prayer group at the University of Dayton, which is a Catholic Marianist. And I had always had that desire to be a cop, since I was a little kid, but I also had a strong calling to, in some way, be in ministry.
Right.
And unbeknownst to me, God's plan wasn't for me to be a priest, but was to lead me to who he had picked out, if you will.
Yes.
To be my spouse. We complement each other in so many ways. And so we got married, and there was a lot of prayer and a little bit of trepidation on her part to become a cop's wife. Because, you know, line of duty deaths, most of the cops that I knew from being a prosecutor were divorced, maybe on second or third marriages. So there was not a real great track record out there. And so it's our faith and what God has led us through and guided us through that has sustained us.
Is your wife like younger than you, the same age? To have such wisdom. You said you were 28, and she said, go ahead, go for it, right? What do you want to do? That's a lot of wisdom.
She's 2 years younger than I am, so she was 26, and we actually, when I made that transition, we'd been married 6 years and had three kids.
Wow.
Whoa. So it was, and then we had two more kids in the early to mid 90s. In 86, we'd been married 6 years and three kids. It's interesting to talk to the kids because they were all raised as cops kids, more or less. The two youngest ones, that's all they knew was that dad was a cop. The three older ones, I had a little bit of the prosecuting career, but they were young. There's a whole lot. And you know what? I enjoy talking about it, but we all have a story. We all have a uniqueness about us. And I've just been fortunate and blessed with the talent to put that into writing and to be able to teach and train and do seminars. But I'm no different than anybody else. We all, you know, scripturally, we were all, God knew all of us and ordained us to his purpose before we were ever even conceived. And
Timothy, he knew us before in our womb too. Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
he knew all that we were going to do. And Timothy, and it's amazing because it's like I get the chills because we all are doing, you know, like we. I mean, not all. I mean, I think like you said, well, God. I mean, God loves all of us so much, and we each have our own fingerprint for a reason, our own gifts for a reason, and he knows where we're going to go when we zigzag and come all the way around. And it's just the training he gives us. I always liken it to like, oh, my gosh, it's taken all these years. But what about Moses? Moses took 40 years when it could have been 2 years, right? But there was a reason for it, right? And it's amazing to for you to be doing it now and giving back and taking all your experience and then teaching. Wow, it's amazing that you knew, too, at a young age that there was a purpose.
And trust me, it was – we also – all have our weaknesses and struggles, and so it hasn't been a bed of roses career wise. I mean, we've had our ups and downs, you know, marriage and raising kids. You know, with five kids, they can really test your patience. And so there's you know, and as a cop, you are dealing with the least, the last, and the lost, you know, of society every day for 25 or 30 years. It's not like maybe being a doctor or a teacher or other career paths
where people are thanking you, right?
And you're not dealing with death and destruction and all the things that we see as police officers. And it is a grueling, we see and hear and deal with things that no human being should ever have to deal with. And you'll see it's finally getting the attention that it should, but PTSD amongst police and firefighters, suicides, more active duty police officers commit suicide than are killed doing their job.
Oh no. The stress is
It is. There's just so much, and that kind of has spurred over the last, particularly the last 18 months or so, putting a team of guys together that come from law enforcement, military, and firefighting arena, who we all had some tremendous things happen in our careers that shaped who we are and the struggles that we had. But every one of us is a man of faith, and we put together this team, and we call it Warrior Servant Leader Training. And it, like, just as an example, Chris Fields. If you remember the Oklahoma City bombing, and there's this iconic picture of a firefighter bringing an infant. She was a year old, Bailey Allman, out of the rubble. And, you know, every year anniversary, that's the picture that makes the rounds. Well, that's a friend of mine, Chris Fields. And his story of what, both how devastating that was, but then also it led to his salvation of coming to grips with death and destruction and evil. And we share, I know Jay Dobbins, the ATF agent, went undercover, Hell's Angels, wrote a best-selling New York Times best-selling book. They made a movie about him. 4 days after he graduated from the ATF Academy, he was taken hostage and shot, and went on to have a 26-year career.
Oh,
and his story. So there's four or five of us that we have formed this group, and we put on training seminars for cops and for firefighters to develop this warrior servant leader mindset and how you can navigate the minefield of the career that you've chosen.
And wow, that's amazing. God bless you for doing it. It seems like we're part of my Real Universal. We're part of Kingdom Builders, and it's a lot of Christian business owners and leaders. And Tamara Lowe has brought in, oh my gosh, over 4 million people, I think, around the world. It's just incredible what they do, and it's all about taking our businesses and letting God work through us. And it's just amazing how I hear over and over and over, and I felt it my whole life. I was texting Randy and told him about with Oprah Winfrey. I've hardly ever watched TV, so I never really watched her much. But I texted him earlier and said it was funny because I had been seeing some things on YouTube, interviews, and she would talk about how we all, God's through all of us, and how we have this calling. And I'm like, I've been saying that for years. I've been doing this for years, you know. And at times when I felt like, here I am going, and people think I have three heads, because you know what I mean? Like, people are out looking at you like, what are you talking about? And I was like, wow, this is just, and it's so amazing, because sometimes people go through and they'll be in careers or jobs or things and go, I hate this, and then realize, wait a minute, this is your ministry. This is where you are to be. And God knew how to take us on, right? When we listen, I think some people don't listen to it. Some that you did all the way, and now you're doing what is amazingly incredible. I do have a question. How do you, as a police officer and teaching police officers, when you know the Christian faith, so you believe in Jesus and God, and then also you know the force of evil, how do you, when your heart must go out to everybody, because everybody's God's children, right? How do you have that servant warrior protection around you, or and teach them to know, wait a minute, we're getting into a dangerous situation here. These people will kill us in 2 seconds flat. We have to use all our, all our knowledge, but yet still serve. And how do you do that? Or do you put a shield of protection and then deal with that later? So that it doesn't get confusing, if that makes sense. Because there's so many, I guess there's a lot of psychology too, because a good carn artist could con you really fast, right, in that type of situation.
Yeah.
So what do you do in something like that? I mean, how do you teach them that?
Well, there's two things. One is, and it took me a while to learn this lesson, the proverb that says, commit your works to the Lord and his plans will be made known to you. And it's so easy for us to create our own plans and then go, hey, God bless this, will you? I really need this. I really want that. And that was a hard lesson for me to learn over the years. So in one way, as I would go into work and I'm training, I'm retired. I'm not out there on the street every day anymore. But
But you were.
When I train police officers and the military cops, I touch on that even within the military, because they're trained, they get the you have to be fit mind, body, and spirit. That's how they term it in their basic military training.
They do include spirit.
Yeah, but they don't define what they mean by mind, body, and spirit. So I kind of help them along. I help them along in the training. And I go, some of you may have heard this as heart, mind, and soul. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. So then the biggest lesson I ever learned, and you don't have to be religious or even a faith. Even an atheist has to live by these four questions, and this is really the crux of how I wanted to train cops, how I lived my own life. Are you doing the right thing at the right time, the right way, and for the right reasons?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to answer those four questions in the affirmative. If you're doing something right, but you're doing it for the wrong reasons, or you're doing it the wrong way, or you're doing it at the wrong time, it's going to blow up in your face. And so that's what I, from that survival mindset, going up on the street or dealing with people, you know, that are yelling at you and calling you names and whatnot, you have to do the right thing, say the right thing at the right time, the right way, and for the right reasons. And there's a I don't know, Randy, I don't know if you ever met Mark Arsenault. He's in a Maxwell guy.
No.
The center,
I know,
he's
I'm
a retired,
part of Max, Mark Arsenault. I don't know. Wow.
This is what, something that he shared with me. He was a cop. He's now retired in the San Francisco area. Or, I'm sorry, Sacramento area. He goes, whatever you're looking for, you will always find more of it. And so that's what I tell cops is no matter how bad it is going to work of what you have to deal with, if you're only going to look for the worst in people and the worst in your 8-hour shift or your 10-hour shift, you're going to find more of it. So to have that mentality and mindset that, you know, I'm going to go into this shift, I'm going to look for something good to do. I'm going to look for something good in somebody else or a circumstance. And then God uses that. You have no idea. I tell the story in the book.
Can I get your book?
I got sent on a call, a return missing child. He was 12 years old, a young black kid. Was in a heavily African-American community part of town. I was a skinny white guy, police officer. It's 2:00 in the morning, and it's on a Friday night, so the bars are going to be letting out, and you know all the action's going to start happening.
Oh no!
And I get this call to go take a report on a return missing 12-year-old boy.
No way!
So,
by yourself or with a partner?
No, I was by myself, and so I get there and. Husband, mother, and dad, which is very unique. Most of the neighborhoods were single parent homes, but here mom and dad are both answering the door. Their yard's well kept, which was also very unusual for this neighborhood. They invite me in. The home is impeccable, very well kept, and they tell me that their son's running with the wrong crowd. He didn't come home from school today. They reported him missing. Both parents are working. They're trying to bring him up, right? But they can't afford to move to a better neighborhood. And all I have to do is confirm that he's there, that he's not injured, and then I can leave. And because I want to go where the action is. And the mom says to me, "We don't know what to do anymore. Will you talk to him?" And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, what am I going to say to a kid that is growing up in this experience I can't relate to, and I'm the police?
You're like the bad guy to him, maybe.
And so, of course, I tell her, yes, I'll talk to him, but you can't be there in the room with me. Just let me talk to him. And they go, hey, whatever, because we don't know what else to do. So I say a quick prayer, God, give me something to tell this kid. And so I spent 10 minutes tops, and I talked to him like a parent and not like a cop. And I didn't say anything. I'm sure his parents hadn't said to him, but he was hearing it from somebody else. And he never looked at me. He kept his head down. But I gave my little spiel, and I left. 18 years later, I'm standing in line at the grocery store, minding my own business, checking girls running my groceries through the checkout, and there was a little old lady behind me, and then there was other people in line behind her, and this voice behind this little old lady goes, "Hey, Welsh, is that you?" And there's only two people that call you by your last name if you're a cop, and that's another cop or a bad guy, you know, somebody that you encounter on the street.
Right.
And so I turned and looked. It was a 30-something-year-old, 6'3", black male, dressed nice. And I looked at him, and I'm trying to think. I know he's not a cop. What did I arrest him for? Because that was my
– Right.
Really, that was my first thought.
Right.
My
makes
second
makes
thought,
total sense. Or when you were the attorney, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. But my second thought was my off-duty gun is on my ankle in a holster. If this guy does something stupid, what am I going to do with this lady? Can I get to my gun? Yeah,
wow.
I just went on like code red.
Right.
But outwardly, I'm very, you know, polite. And I go, yeah, may I ask who's asking? And he goes, you probably don't remember me. I go, no, sir, I don't. He goes, well, when I was 12 years old, you came to my house because I had
that
run away.
My...
Yeah. And and he goes, I just want to say thank you. And by the way, I graduated from college, I'm married, and have two kids.
Oh,
and
my God.
Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And so if you have that mindset of, yeah, you have to be a warrior. There are times, you know, it's going to get ugly. You have to be ready to physically fight. But you also have to have that servant mindset of putting the wants and needs of others before your own. You have to be a leader, a person of influence, because you never know what impact you're going to have on somebody's life. I'm lucky.
Exactly.
I got to hear, I call it the Paul Harvey syndrome. I got to hear the rest of the story. but so many cops don't. They don't get the, they don't know all the good that they've done. People are real good about telling you how much you suck or, you know, how, all the negatives, but you don't hear the good stories, the successes and the impact you have on other people's lives. And if you keep that perspective that I'm here to make other people's lives better by protecting and serving, then you don't get as depressed about all the ugliness that you see and deal with.
You know how God is using you. That brings tears to my eyes. That is such an amazing story. And imagine.
Wow. Wow, I just if you're just tuning in or just checking this out on demand, again, Pat Welsh is with us, and time is flying by, man. You're getting a taste of
it always does.
Yeah, of how inspirational Pat might be in terms of a speaking. Now, Pat, when you say speaking, I'm guessing obviously warrior servant leader training for law enforcement, and I'm already thinking of, we've talked about this before, but every time you and I connect, I think about friends. I'm right now on the website, Butte County Sheriff's Office. Corey Honea is the sheriff and a Christian guy, and he's kind of been in the national news because he's pretty much with the whole paradise burning to the ground and the whole issue here. He's kind of taken over and really been an example, man, of what you're talking about. A man of God, a warrior, servant, and a leader. And I just think you two, I need to connect you guys because you speak to law enforcement groups, but also church men's groups. I mean, it's because it really applies the same, doesn't it? Warrior, servant, leader, whether you're law enforcement or whether you're just a man of God trying to be all of those things as you lead your family, could be leading your family, right? Whatever.
Yeah.
Talk about that,
family,
about the fact that it's not just about cops.
Yeah, it's not. And that's part of what the second book, The Life Behind the Cross, is we are all – here's the great commission to me scripturally. I know this isn't what everybody else says, but to me, this is the greatest commission that Christ – gave us daily. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And those three things, every single day you have to recommit to denying yourself. That's servanthood. You put the wants and needs of others before yourself. You're denying yourself. There's a lot of things that we would like to be doing, but God is calling us to disciple and witness to the least, the last, and the lost. So deny yourself, pick up your cross. That's the warrior mentality. You have to have the mental and physical and spiritual armor and discipline to pick up what crosses you have to bear in life. And then to follow Christ, that's leadership, because as a leader, you're not called to gather followers. You are called to groom and build other people to be leaders. So what better way to be a leader than to study and sit at the foot of the greatest leader in the history of mankind? It's applicable to that world of policing, but it's applicable to your marriage, to raising your family, to the neighborhood you live in, to your faith community, because every day you have to recommit yourself to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Christ. And so the two books kind of complement each other in a way, because the first book is, and some of it, and Randy, I know you and I have talked about it, some of it's funny. There's a chapter in that book, you know, what not to name your child. If you name your kid the Al Capone, Al Pacino, he's probably not going to be a rocket scientist. And I helped send him to, at the age of 19, helped send him to prison for a couple murders. If you name your kid vodka,
really?
Or tequila, you know what? You're tagging them with a burden they're going to have to carry through life. And so in a way, it's kind of funny because the names are kind of funny, but the stories that go with those names are really, in many cases, very sad. But then when I get into the life behind the cross, there's some significant stories in there. How my wife was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and how we got through through that, and the miracle that occurred in that process. I was abandoned in an orphanage in Dublin, Ireland when I was 3 days old. In fact, today is my anniversary. In 1963, I became a U.S. citizen on May Day.
Really?
So
oh, congratulations.
No, thank you. I talk about that. Our youngest son died serving in the military overseas.
Oh,
I talk about that.
That was horrible.
Yeah, so it is. There's, man, I'll tell you what, God, you know, God, Christ, he came to give us life more abundantly, and that is, if that's what you're looking for, you will find more of that. And the only way to do that is to pick up your cross and follow Christ.
Right.
So it's
daily. I love that.
I'm telling you.
And sometimes
like
forgive
minute.
It. And sometimes forgive daily, too, when you're going through certain things. You know, it's just, it's, you know, wow.
Well, one of my favorite characters in all of Scripture is Job. Is how that dude could go through what he went through, and the lesson, this was the big picture lesson I learned from Job. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. If Job believed everything he saw, he probably would have committed suicide. But rather, his faith sustained him. What he believed was that God loved him and there was a purpose for what he was going through. And so that's what he was seeing. And his greatest fear was to never see the face of God again. And so that sustains me in those really, and when you have some really bad days, Job sustains me in the bad times. So,
yeah.
Makes total sense. Oh my gosh. It's just so enlightening and, you know,
Hey,
Pat, he's like the wings between beneath us. Go ahead.
Yep. Go ahead, Randy.
I'm Googling warrior servant leader, and I'm not seeing the website. Are you revamping the website? I see a ton of articles, but is there a way to connect?
The website's WSL. Warrior servant leader seemed like a mouthful for a website, so we shortened it to wsltraining.com.
Okay.
WSLtraining.com.
And then if you go on Amazon and you just string the three words warrior servant leader, those three words,
yeah,
the book should be one of the first things that pops up.
Okay.
WSLtraining.com. Cool.
Yeah.
We've got just a couple of minutes left, man, and I've been racking my brain. When we had you on WBGL, you kind of broke down the love God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Mm-hmm.
Could you kind of do a, as we wrap up today, a short version of that?
Sure.
You know, and how that applies to what you do and the training and the concepts that you're trying to communicate.
Sure. Here's what love stands for, L-O-V-E. Live out veritas every day. And veritas is the Latin word for truth. So if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, that means you are seeking the truth and living it out every day. And your heart is not what's in your chest. Your heart is that place where you go to make the most important decisions in life. It's that quiet place. If you love someone with all your heart, it's everything that is at the center of your being. Your mind, that is the organ that keeps your ears from touching each other. And how you think is how everything is driven from how you think. Your attitude, I mean everything. So how you think about God, when you think about God. So heart, mind, and soul. And everybody has a soul. An atheist has a soul. Nobody's ever explained it to them. Your soul is everything that makes you unique in the eyes of God. There is nobody before you or after you that has been gifted and talented and shaped has a mission and purpose for God like you have. And so that's your soul. So everything about you, your looks, your personality, your just everything is unique. And that is your soul, because God created you as a unique individual. And so when it says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, it's the whole package. And if you live that way, and how you think, how you talk, how you act, and the desires of your heart, and it's all focused on the love of God, then you will have life more abundantly. And so that's I try to put that in terms. Sometimes when I'm doing stuff for the military or some other government contracts, I can't proselytize. I can't preach, but I can translate all that into a vernacular that makes sense even to an atheist. And so it's exciting, because that's how he changed the culture one person at a time. And you want to change the culture of a police department, you share those things that is the high road. And this is what you expect, and this is what you will accept in the way of thinking, talking, and acting. And if it's designed around that kind of mindset, then things will be better. It'll be a better place to work. It'll be a better community to live in. It'll be a safer community. So,
but man, I love that. That is, I remember that. I got the recording of that, and I've listened to it before, you know, or since then, because it was just, and it is so inspiring, because it's so simple, but it's so full of truth. The way you lay out the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, you know, and it occurs to me that in some ways you've become a priest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, ministry.
Yes. Well, actually, you know, my wife and I, we went through the 4-year Denver Biblical School, which is a Catholic scholarly biblical program, 4-year long program, 9 months a year for 4 years. So learned so much in the last, we graduated last year. I have learned so much about my faith and the foundation. And like, again, I call it Paul Harvey.
Right.
Real quick, I just have to tell you this. The letter to the Philippians. And it, and when Christ, when Paul says that at the name of Jesus Christ, every head will bow, every knee will bend, and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, Philippi was the retirement city that Caesar established for Roman soldiers. If you did your 20 years and survived, you got free land, Roman citizenship. You didn't have to pay taxes, but you had to live in Philippi because it was halfway between Rome and Constantinople. So it was basically a military outpost of a bunch of retirees. And it was at the name of Caesar that they would bow their head and bend their knees and declare as Christos, Christ. And so Paul saying that in Philippi to the Philippians is like, holy cow, that is so radical. But I didn't know that until I went through the biblical school and learned the Paul Harvey, the context and the behind, the story behind the story. And so, yeah, I've just grown leaps and bounds in the last 5 years, faith-wise. And it's exciting.
Wow.
Because it's sustained us.
Yeah,
4 years ago is when our son died. And so this
sorry.
Faith is what got us through that.
Oh, that's horrible. Mm. Horrible.
So,
yeah.
Thank you, man. Thank you again so much for for being with us today. Pat Welsh with us. And again, WSLtraining.com, the website. WSL stands for Warrior Servant Leader. And again, that's the name of the book, is Life Behind the Badge, and then also Life Behind the Cross. And it's more of a faith-based, kind of a deeper dive, if you will. Although, again, both books are about his faith. And a guy who was going to be a priest and then ended up being a district attorney or a prosecutor and then a police officer and leader in the police force there in Dayton, a major. And it just like I say, God's brought you full circle, man, because as I sit here listening to you, you're teaching us and you're teaching whoever you put you in front of. You know, biblical values and the Bible, and in a way that, like you said, is kind of flavored with your uniqueness because of your experience and your personality. I love what he's done.
Puts you in front of people that wouldn't listen to a priest or a minister right then and there. You know, people that you're able to come if it's somebody's atheist or and you're able to minister to them in ways that, as you know, one of the guys in there, it's amazing. I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Gosh, thank you so much for coming on too. This is amazing. I'm going to buy some of your books and start handing them out and referring them. It's so needed, so needed.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thank you so much. And again, WSL, Warrior Servant Leader. It stands for WSL Training.com. The website again. Church groups, men's groups. If you know a law enforcement officer, you know somebody in your local agency, whether it's whatever form of law enforcement.
So the fire department, law officer, right? All of the above,
Pat, we do all
love
first responders.
To come and talk.
So,
all first responders.
Yeah, I'll tell you
there
what.
You
if churches, I've been on the pulpit, so if churches have a need for bringing somebody in to share a message like this for their community, give me a holler. It's so needed, and I'm telling you, it changes lives and it saves lives. And that's our goal. The five of us, the six of us that are that do this training, that's our goal, is to save lives and change lives.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the opportunity you guys are giving me to get some airtime and talk about it.
Thanks,
man.
God bless. Take care, buddy.
All right. See you, Randy.
Thank you so much. We'll be back.
All right.
Thanks.
Wow.
Amazing.
Good stuff. Another great show. Man.
I mean, all the lives you say they're saving. Amazing, you know?
Yeah. I could listen to him all day. Man, it's good stuff. What?
Love it. We are down to the end already. So,
yeah.
Wow, I'm going to buy some of his books and hand them out, too, because it's just amazing and so good. And so he's got the – can go into so many venues and save so many people.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
So good.
Well, it's been a great show, and I will see you next time, Randy. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.